The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You're going to have a lot of bait fish. They're about 4 inches, and they're just going to go in a circle around the light. There's probably 200 of them, 200 to 300 of them. I'm like, wow, look at that. That's cool.
George, watch out for those pigeons.
Oh, they'll get out of the way. You really smell banana?
Oh, my God.
All of a sudden, out of nowhere, this 5-foot shark comes with its mouth open and goes right through the middle of them. Takes a bite, and I almost soiled myself. I'm like, there is no way I'm getting in the water.
You ran over some pigeons. How many?
Whatever they had. Miranda thinks I'm a butcher, but it's not my fault, is it? Don't we have a deal with the pigeons?
So I can't go out of the front of the house at night, and I can't go in the water ever.
Of course we have a deal. They get out of the way of our cars. We look the other way on the statue defecation.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They make the plans. We sit and count our chests.
All right, Chewy. I have another one for our list. You know the list, right?
Which list?
That's a good question. That's a good point. We have several lists. One of the lists we have was you trying to figure out how many wins the Packers were going to have last year. And that list went something like 3, 6, 8, 6, 7, 5, 3, 0, 9. Not that list. The list that we have of arrogances.
Oh, the arrogance list. Yes, yours was very good yesterday.
Arrogance has to be Chewy approved, though.
That's why I'm presenting
it. I think you have to present the case to the big guy. Yes.
Presenting it to the court this morning.
The arrogance ombudsman.
Arrogance.
Attaboy.
Ombudsman?
Ombudsman.
There we go.
Glad you opened up the mic for that one.
Uh-huh. I could literally feel it get caught in my throat.
To be fair, Joshy's working a little down because of the Taylor Swift album drop last night, right, Joshy?
Yes, that is true.
Does your apartment look like the one scene from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yes, there are strings being drawn to boards about which ex-boyfriend, what words mean, what's the... Oh, boy.
But we're all in agreement that the one song is about Travis, right? I mean, she used so many football metaphors in it. It's like... touchdown, people on the bench, trophy, like, okay, we got it. Your boyfriend plays football, we got it, that's about him. But back to the list. Parking spot arrogance. I want to consider it, I want you to consider putting it on our list. Because yesterday, I'm going to take my kiddos to the dentist. And it's one of these parking lots that has a nail salon, a memorabilia store, a coffee shop, a restaurant, a wine bar, a medi spa, the dentist, a bank, and a budget haircut place. Just call it what it is. And the only place that has reserved parking spots is the budget haircut place. These spots really? Reserved for blankety blank customers. So guess what are the only three spots that are empty in this whole freaking parking lot?
Yes, the haircut.
The haircuts.
Right. By the way, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Not saying people don't get their haircut at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Certainly have in the past. But like, why does that place get three reserved parking spots and every other place, the customers for every other spot are left to fend for themselves?
Kind of seems like a pretty simple answer, doesn't it?
I thought
they
so too.
They negotiated a better lease.
Yeah, they pay for it.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I would assume so.
Are you
like, did this not cross your mind at all yesterday?
You just
thought that whoever owns the buildings like handing out parking passes? Like,
I just thought that they thought they were better than everybody else there and said, dibsies, and then put up some signs.
Why would that be okay?
It wouldn't.
With the people who own the building.
And the other vendors.
Correct.
This tenants. Is my frustration yes. yesterday. The tenants, yes, thank you, Joshy.
But the real question is...
Wherever you were trying to go yesterday, you should be mad at them. They should be ponying up more so you can get a parking spot.
You're mad at your dad, not me.
Correct.
Huh? That's what's happening here.
But the real question is, did you take one of the spots?
I did not.
Why? That's so you.
New year, new Jen.
That's right. Thank you, Gabe. I was trying to figure out why I did.
She was very offended. Very offended.
Wait, what do you mean that's so me? What do you mean I would take one of the spots for the budget haircut place?
I don't know. Have you parked anywhere you shouldn't in this parking garage ever?
You leave
on,
your
on
rental
occasion,
car.
Frequently?
You've left your rental car on the arrival section of an airport, so yes, it is so you.
Oops.
I can't believe you didn't do it.
I thought this is where you're supposed to return your rental car.
That was only because there was no way I was making the flight any other way, so it was like, I'm going to plead ignorance. I thought that's where you're supposed to leave it. No, because the problem with this one is you're exposed. As soon as you roll into that spot, those spots are directly in front of the storefront. And the people who are in there cutting hair can see when you pull into a spot if you don't go into their store. And I'm sure that they then could. Look, if they have the arrogance, or money apparently is the real
the
answer
here.
If they have the money to be buying those spots, I'm guessing they want to protect them for their customers. Now, the other frustration was, of course, those spots went unused the entire time that we were at the dentist's office for back-to-back appointments for my girls. But I digress. That's why I didn't go in and use those spots, because somebody would have been able to see me.
I think the dental office would be doing better than the budget haircut place, but the budget haircut place is the one spending the money on the parking.
Three spots. That's the other thing. Three spots. Like, there aren't enough spots in that parking lot for every place there to have three designated spots and then the a la carte. So I just thought, like, why do they even do that? Why are you designating one place in this parking lot for that? Now, I will say this. During COVID and shortly thereafter, some of the restaurants or food places, the coffee shop, the restaurant, they had pickup spots.
Sure.
What do they call those?
The carryout? Curbside.
Yeah.
Yes, they had those. Those have since gone away. Just open up a few more spots for all of the other things that you need. So I'm submitting parking spot arrogance for consideration by the, what was it again, Joshy?
The arrogance ombudsman.
I see, now that you explain it, I don't think that's arrogance.
What is
it? They just negotiated a better lease where the other businesses did not.
I also think perhaps, because you've mentioned to us, this business is fairly large, the budget haircut place, there's a chance they just own it and built it for other people to be tenants at it.
You think?
I mean, it's unlikely, but there's some sort of payola situation going here. They just didn't stake claim.
Haven't you ever had that, though, in a different plaza? Like, there's another plaza in town that has a cafe, and it has a golf store, and it has a candy store, and it has a dry cleaner, and the dry cleaner's got three spots, like right out front, reserved for the dry cleaner. Like, that to me feels like parking spot arrogance. The parking lot is supposed to be a wild, wild west, which again, we have complained about that on some level as well here on this show, but it's supposed to be basically like first come, first serve. Every parking spot is for everyone who comes and uses this plaza. All of a sudden, these places think that they're special?
Well, no. Again, they're paying for it.
How do you know they're paying for it? Like, we have just assumed, we have hook, line, and sinkered this theory as to why this is happening.
How do I
Are
know
you familiar with capitalism and how any of that works?
Yeah.
Are you familiar?
Game.
I mean, it's just... This is... Whoever owns that isn't just going to...
Yeah, because you divvy it up.
For example...
Just so you know, now we have covered imperialism and capitalism on this show in a matter of a couple of weeks.
Who says we can't be educational?
Who says we aren't highbrow?
You know, I don't know if you're familiar with our parking garage, but there are four spots that say Good Karma Brands only. It's where we can park our station vehicles, things of that nature. There are other businesses here, and if you continue to wind up, there are other businesses that have parking spots. That's all negotiated. We didn't just move in and then decide right by these doors we're putting up four signs that say Good Karma
Very
Brands
good
only.
Point,
those were negotiated as part of our lease with the building.
Because if I was the slipper store next door and saw that they had three spots and they just claimed them, guess what I'm putting out there? Signs that say, mine.
Mine?
Yeah.
Mine? Mine?
I forgot to tell you guys, I created a new language in Nashville.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I did, and everyone loves it.
What does that mean?
I am really, scared to ask the follow-up.
We have a friend, couple down here, and the guy owned a restaurant down here. He's from West Dallas, so off the bat, you know he's awesome. So his wife, when she has a little bit too much to drink, she speaks like left-handed. You can't understand a damn word she says, and her name's Colleen, so I called it Colleenice.
You think maybe you're revealing a few too many details here? Like, we try when we tell stories.
But she knows.
Delete some, like, things unsaid.
He doesn't care.
I think that's fair.
He doesn't care.
I think it's
They're
great.
From
Everyone
West
loves
Dallas.
It.
Her name is Diane. Like, what are we doing here, man?
You got their address? Any social security numbers you want to pass along?
Okay.
I mean, she speaks marbly. You know those kind of people.
Yes. Yeah, slurring their words.
It's marbly. More like she has like hot balls in her mouth.
I don't
remember
know if
the
I
hot balls.
That.
Remember the hot balls? They were the best. 5 cents at the five and dime store. You put a bunch in your mouth. You see if you can handle it. That's what it's like. Like a hot tongue with balls. You guys don't understand what the hell I'm talking. You've never had a hot ball. Gabe? That's how she talks. So she'll talk to me and I'll be like, nope, not a word. Not one word that I understand. And then I ask her husband and she's like, yeah. He's like, I can pick up on every third word and kind of put it together like a puzzle. So it's called Colleenice, which I think is pretty cool.
But nobody else could speak it, right?
No.
And there's only one translator who's only getting every third word.
Yes.
You got to be careful with translators nowadays, too, Jay. You never know when they're going to steal 16 mil.
I thought it was kind of prolific of me.
Prolific? Just throwing out words that have no meaning anymore? Like,
well, he said marbling earlier, and I was like, oh, I get it. I know.
What was the word yesterday?
Negativity. That was a couple days ago. The glugging. Jen was a big fan of
glurge.
Glurging.
Are we playing Reach You today?
Yeah, we are.
I left out glurging. It grossed me out too much.
So now we have another list. Can you start another list in your word docs over there of words that Chewy has made up and what they mean? We could put out a dictionary of Chewy words. So why do you hang out with her if you don't know what she's saying? She's fun?
Because they're hilarious. They're hilarious. They're just good people. I'll see them tonight.
Let me ask you a question. Does she know that she does this? Does she know that when she gets...
totally. But she has no idea.
Like, if you took a video of her talking, marbling, could you show it to her later on and she translate it for you? Would she know what she's saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know what? I'll do it tonight. How's that? I'll do it tonight and we'll post it.
I don't know if we're going to post it. I don't know if we can make that promise.
You don't think people would want
to? We're going to post a video of your drunken friend not being able to say the words correctly because she's drunk.
I don't think drunk. I think tipsy.
Big difference. Everyone knows that.
We are splitting the finest of hairs there.
Who makes these laws? Hairs.
What laws?
Are rules for the radio?
The FCC.
Not the picture of Blammer. I mean, I think that people would love to see that picture of the Blammer.
So
as somebody who has seen the picture of the Blammer, I can assure you, people do not want to see that picture of the Blammer.
Jen,
I've seen it. I don't think they do either.
Remember when I said I don't have like a photographic memory and I can't see images? I got the blammer stuck in there. It's the first time ever.
It's bypassed just the security system. Yes. Somehow that image is bypassed the security virus. System.
I can see it in front of me even when I don't want to.
Lots of folks weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. They say, does Chewy mean fireballs? What are hot balls?
Hot balls. They're the ones in the little plastic wrapper, 5 cents a hot ball. And then they're, you know, it takes, you got to suck them. And it probably takes, I don't know, 20 minutes to suck them to nothing.
It's a fireball.
No, it's not. They're hot balls. They're probably the same thing, but we call them hot balls. I'm taking a video. I don't care.
You can do that if you want. If you send it to Josh, he's not going to post it on our social media account.
So you're going to take a video of Colleen. You're going to play it back for her. We're going to play back for you the last 45 seconds of this show, and you tell us how you think it went, okay? We got Jason Wilde coming up this morning. Craig Karmazin as well. The Bucks start the playoffs this weekend. We will talk about that. Gabe, what do you got?
With the local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. They've been serving businesses and individuals in the area for nearly 15 years, including a long-standing commitment to the healthcare industry. From expansion to treasury management, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions across the healthcare spectrum to meet the complex moments you're navigating. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
We have come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically, or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
Spending time with Jason Wilde. He joins us now on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
I am great. I'm focused. I am ready to be concise and insightful. Fun, not suck as much as I did yesterday.
Okay, well, let's talk about Andre Dillard. How does he change what you think the Packers are going to look like on the offensive line this season, if at all?
He doesn't. At all. Like, he is a low-risk, former first-round pick. Tausch says this all the time. First-round picks constantly have to prove they don't belong in the league, whereas people like Tausch, who were seventh-round picks, constantly have to reprove that they do belong in the league. If Andre Dillard was a sixth-round pick, A, I don't even know if the Packers pick him up, and B, we're probably not talking about him today, right? Like, I remember the Packers did a trade with the Eagles, and they traded John Michaels for a defensive lineman who the Eagles had drafted in the first round, who I think his first name was John also. Josh, you helped me out with this trade. Look it up in the Google machine. But it was like 1998, maybe. And what it basically was we picked the wrong guy, you picked the wrong guy, we think they both think, but we would love to see if a change of venue, change of scenery, maybe bring something out in these former first-round picks that we did not bring out. And so they basically swapped their draft mistakes, and I don't think, maybe John Michaels played a little bit for the Eagles. The guy that the Packers acquired, I don't think he ever did anything, and I think they moved on from him pretty quickly.
Defensive end, John Harris.
God, Harris, I knew it was a. Oh, there you go, point proven. But yeah. But look, Jen, to your point, like if you know he was a first round pick. He's only started like what 19 games or something like that in 5 years. That's not the return you're looking for from a first round pick. And if he somehow discovers with the right coaching and a new system and a new team. Maybe you have your swing tackle. Maybe you don't, you know, the draft board doesn't fall the way you want it to. and the offensive linemen that you like are gone before you get to pick in each round, then maybe you're just fine with starting Rashid Walker, and maybe this guy can be your backup tackle.
All right, so I didn't get a chance to listen to the show yesterday because I had to go to the gym. Give me the nickel summary on Mel Kiper's review of Tausch.
Pretty spot on. Had him moving into guard, which I know a lot of people in that draft industrial complex had Tausch doing. I think they probably underestimated how good his feet were. But Jen was fantastic. I got to get some of that ESPN money where I'm not afraid to throw $100 at something like that instead of negotiating with the seller. And I did get some of that ESPN money for a year, but that's another story for another day. But look, this goes back to Jen's first question. Like, those are the guys, man. Like, you know, you're one of them, right? Sixth round pick.
But Jason, when I was a junior eligibility, right? Mel Kiper had me the number two tight end coming out, and I didn't come out. And then I didn't suck, but I sucked like testing out, which is kind of important. I could play football, but I couldn't, you know.
Run fast, jump high.
And look, Mel Kiper is not perfect. He's not omniscient.
Obviously, yeah.
Probably his evaluation after your junior year was clearly way off base.
Yes.
And he was a little more accurate probably your senior year. But look, I think it's important, and Jen hit on this while she was dramatically reading the review in Mel Kiper's book, is that there's two crucial things to this. One, you can't, all those measurables you just talked about, you cannot measure either the heart or the, shall we say, guts of a player. Mm-hmm. The determination level, right? So that's one of the things. And the history of the NFL is littered with players who were dismissed, disrespected, whatever it was, and they had the fortitude to overcome the expectations that others had for them. But the other part is you got to end up in the right place with the right opportunities. And, you know, Tausch doesn't particularly enjoy it when we talk about him, unlike Jesse, who always wants us to talk about him. And when we started talking about Tausch's career, my argument about him, and this would apply to you as well, is that he met the moment when the moment was available to
mm-hmm.
him, right? Yep. Like in 2000, you know, Earl Dotson's back locks up. If Tausch isn't ready as a mm-hmm. rookie during training camp to show that you can protect Brett Favre with a seventh-round rookie draft pick, then his story is completely different. So, yeah, he was determined, and, yeah, he had a chip on his shoulder, and, yeah, he has a faulty memory and didn't realize that he was in the book that he was in. But if he's not ready in that crucial moment, and then if he's not yeah. ready again in the game in Buffalo when Earl goes out again, then, you know, Marco tells a great story about him kind of running onto the field with these enormous wide eyes, and Marco saying, you're fine. You got this. We know you can do this. And he did. And so you're the same way, right? Like, if you had sucked in the opportunities you got,
yeah.
then you're not doing this radio show. It's Jen, Gabe, and Ed West or something.
Yeah.
Oh, the toolbox.
Jason, Mike Reinfeldt told me years after, he's like, you were hours, maybe a day away from getting cut. Literally. That's mm-hmm. how close you were. And then Ed West got hurt before the Atlanta game. So they couldn't cut me. Reggie Johnson winds up getting hurt in that game. I come in, and I think I had 5 catches for 72 yards, and they're like, all right, we'll give you another chance. And then he said I was hours, maybe a day from, and my life would be, yes, totally different. I'm sure we could all say that at some point about our career.
Is that because of all the Rocket Man snaps as the long snapper, Chew?
No, it's because it was the hamstring year that I tell you about, and I just yeah, they were like, enough. This guy just got hurt too many times.
And that's, you know, if we're being honest, like, you know, I love Rob Domofsky. He breaks news. He's fantastic at what he does. What I love about this job, the thing that brings me back, other than, you know, needing to pay the mortgage and stuff, is the storytelling. That's what I love about the writing side of my job, and this side of it too, about talking about this stuff. And you know, your story and Tausch's and so many others through my soon to be 29 seasons covering this team is that stuff. Like, you were mm-hmm. at a tipping point, and the what ifs, and there are other guys, by the way, who probably could have played and been successful players, but they didn't get in the right system, they didn't go to the right team, they didn't get the opportunity that you did, that you seized. And I just think it's so fascinating, the situations that all of you guys, because, again, I know maybe I'm a little different this way because I know other people that covered you saw you more as transactional and robots and not really giving a damn about you as human beings. Mm-hmm. But, like, the human condition of what you guys go through, I mean, like I said, I saw Free the other day outside the Bucks locker room when Sid and I went down there. And, like, I think back, I was telling Sidney, you know, this guy played a game with his jaw wired shut. This guy played a game with a broken forearm.
Yeah.
Like, he was as tough as they come. And then you start to think about, you know, Free growing up in Baltimore. I mean, he lived basically in kind of The Wire, if you remember that show from HBO. Like, those are the kinds of things that make doing this job really, really cool, is getting to tell your stories.
Jason, as we head into the draft, how many starting jobs do you think are open right now for the Packers?
Ooh, good question, Keith. Who, by the way, I emailed Keith. He is not, I thought I sent it, maybe I sent it to Keith Neitzel at AOL.com or something, but I still need to pay him for his work he did on our life.
They're a little busy right now. Just put up the house for sale. Have, you know, little transition going on in their lives right now. They'll get to it when they get to it.
Okay, good. I just don't want to be a... What would it be if you don't pay your bills? You're not a scofflaw. That's if you don't pay your parking tickets.
Deadbeat? Freeloader?
Yeah, deadbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it means you're deadbeat.
Just right, work on the barter system.
Yeah. You got any Viagra? What? You can get? That's what Chewy does. He gives his Viagra to his neighbor.
Keep that to yourself. I don't know. I don't know if that's what you're bartering with, Jason.
So the barter system is I'm going to give Gabe's dad Viagra? Is that what I'm supposed to
say? Or vice versa.
How Chewy operates his life.
This is taking a turn. Keith, I'm sorry I got your name wrong. I have to owe you $90. All right, so if you go through their offense, like when you say starting jobs open, like the wide receiver starting jobs are open competition, right? Like we
sure.
don't know where Christian Watson, but we know that they have starting caliber players at those spots, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about earlier in the week, like the offensive line, I think they feel fine if the four doesn't go their way and they start the five guys that they would start the season with today. So I don't think on offense there's really anybody. There's some competitions among guys that they know are starting caliber players, but I don't think there's anything open on that side. On the opposite side, they have to figure out who the Sam linebacker is going to be. I was just finishing my linebacker preview. Quay is going to be the Will. I think Sam McDuffie is clearly going to be the Mike. But who's going to be that strong side guy now that they've switched to the 4-3? I mean, maybe it can be Christian Welch or Eric Wilson, and they already have that guy on their roster. And then the other spot is safety, right? I mean, if Eric Stokes isn't ready to go at one of the corner spots, they've already got Carrington Valentine, who they feel like can start with Jair and Keyshawn Nixon. So to me, the only other question is who's lining up next to McKinney? And as of right now today, it would have to either be Benny Sapp or Anthony Johnson Jr. So I would think that one of the cool things about this very young team is that it's full of competition, but it has, in their mind, enough starting caliber players that there is really only one absolutely glaring hole and then maybe another one at that outside, that strong side linebacker spot, where you would say, we don't really know if we have a starter at that spot.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us today. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you again soon.
I was awesome today.
self-evaluating, are we?
Well, I was definitely self-evaluating yesterday. That was
we can send you a picture of my barter guy, Jason.
After he's taken what you've given him, or before?
Definitely before.
It's a great question. That's why you've been a reporter for as long as you have, Jason. You always know the appropriate follow-up to ask.
All right, this segment has been brought to you by... All right, I'll take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can listen to him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on ESPN Milwaukee. We got to take a break. We got to get to Craig Karmazin. Want to talk about those Milwaukee Bucks. I was just looking up at the TV, pointed at it for Gabe to look at. Tim Legler picking the Pacers to win the series against the Bucks. We'll talk to Craig Karmazin about that right after this.
Tune into Thanalysis Show every week. Bucks player Thanasis Adetokounmpo sits down with special guests to have fun and honest conversations. Conversations with NBA stars Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, basketball media royalty Jay Williams, and more big-name guests already a part of Season 2, like the one that dropped earlier this week, the live show that they did a couple of weeks ago with his brother Giannis Adetokounmpo and, of course, Stephen A. Smith. So find Thanalysis Show today on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. Subscribe to the Thanalysis Show YouTube channel for accompanying videos and special content.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
I am so impressed with Jordan Love, you know, and I think, like, Packers fans should feel so good about Jordan Love.
Fridays with Mo.
I think Rodgers never spoke out and was direct, and Giannis should be praised for being clear so that everyone knows, hey, Giannis told the organization what he wanted.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Love checking in with Craig Karmazin each and every Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Craig. How are you doing today?
I am wonderful. It is the eve of the NBA playoffs.
Yes, very exciting. And I was just telling Gabe that up on the television on Get Up, Tim Legler has picked the Pacers to win this series. Now, I don't know if that's because he assumes that Giannis will not be available and the team cannot win without Giannis. I wasn't able to hear the details of his stance, but don't the odds sort of, I haven't looked at them recently, but it felt like it was a little bit of a pick 'em right now from a series standpoint.
The odds have moved in the last day. If you look at ESPN Bet, you look everywhere. It was even as of about a day ago. And as of last night, the Pacers are actually the favorites to win this series.
Well, that's wonderful news.
Craig?
Gabe, do you have something you want to say?
No.
Hold on, Gabe.
Nope.
Craig, this is more of a statement than a question, but I am emphatically against John Horst being the fall guy for this season, right? He shares some culpability with the hiring of Griffith, but obviously some people had to sign off on it. But as a GM, this guy has done everything to make this team succeed, moving on from Bledsoe to Drew Holiday, moving on from Drew Holiday to an unbelievable player in Dame Lillard. And if he is the fall guy, I think it is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life because I think he's done an outstanding job. What do you think of that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why we're talking about a fall guy. The playoffs haven't started yet. They're getting ready for the playoffs. There's no fall guys here. We're getting ready for a big run. I mean,
but they're not favored, Craig. The fact that they're not even favored in this first series, isn't that a red flag? I thought this team, I bought my brass polishing stuff when they traded for Dame Lillard.
Polish.
And now they're not even favored in the first round of the playoffs?
It definitely is not what any of us expected, but we also didn't expect Giannis to not be available for game one of the NBA playoffs. We also didn't expect that Dame Lillard would not practice in full leading into the playoffs. And I'm excited about this team. I think you think about Doc Rivers and having actual concentrated time to practice and be with this team. And if at some point in this series, the Bucks have their entire team intact, I believe this team will advance, and this team has the best chance to beat the Celtics of anyone in the East.
Why do you think so much of the narrative is already, because like you said, the thing that I think that's bothered me the most here so far about the Bucks going into the playoffs in this week, everyone's talking as if it's already done. Like, everybody's talking about, oh, where's Dame going to go? Where's Giannis going to go? Who's going to be the fall guy when we haven't even played a single playoff game? Why is that the narrative as if the Bucks have already lost this series?
Because that's what's interesting, right? It's not interesting to say what happens when the Bucks beat the Pacers in six, right? That's not that interesting because the Bucks were a team that was constructed at the beginning of the year to be co-favorites along with the Boston Celtics. So it's a much more interesting story to know what happens to Kevin Durant, and are the Phoenix Suns going to be totally broken up if they lose to the Minnesota Timberwolves? When you look at how they're constructed, you know, will Devin Booker want to get out because, you know, the big three didn't work and they traded for Bradley Beal, right? That's more interesting than saying, like, yeah, the Suns actually could beat the Minnesota Timberwolves, and then what happens, right? Like, that's the fun of sports.
Yeah, but the fans have a right to be shell-shocked, Gabe, right? You were saying the same thing last year about the Miami Heat. Like, oh, this has got to be a walk.
Here's my problem.
In the first round of the playoffs.
The fans have the right to be shell-shocked. But if you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan, it's hard, I mean, from where I sit, to ask for much more, right? The fact that this team was willing, as you said, to go all in for Jrue Holiday or P.J. Tucker or to make whatever moves need to be made and then to be able to make the move for Dame Lillard, as hard as it was to trade Jrue Holiday, like, as a Bucks fan, at least you have to feel like, hey, my organization is willing to do all that it takes, you know, to fire a coach when we have the second best record, you know, in the East, because we are championship or bust, and that's the way we think. You know, it doesn't mean you win it every year, but at least you have an organization that clearly, in one of the smallest markets in the NBA, is willing to spend anything and do anything to try to win a championship.
Well, and that's why Gabe always talks about how the Patriots really ruin the curve. They ruin things for everybody. Because winning titles, plural, is hard. Winning a title is hard. And yet I think Bucks fans looked at having this generational player in Giannis, having pieces around him, a very similar squad that they had when they won the title a few years ago, save a few pieces that they've moved in. People feel like they upgraded offensively with Dame Lillard over Jrue Holiday, but understand that they took a step back defensively with that change. But I think the thought was, well, if that's what got it done 2 years ago, and we're just kind of sort of running it back-ish, why hasn't it been easier for this team to run through the regular season? And then last year, of course, run through the playoffs. Like, I think, again, people think because of what the Patriots did, winning all of those titles over that time, becoming the dynasty in the NFL, that the Bucks should have been a dynasty in the NBA, and it just hasn't happened yet.
I think it's because the NFL is just a bunch of meatheads, like Chewy. I think the NBA is a much more sophisticated organization, and that's why it's the best sport. I mean, think about a few things here. So a few years ago, the best record in the NBA was the Utah Jazz. Right. And Donovan Mitchell was a young superstar. They were signing Rudy Gobert to a max. And within a year or so, they actually broke up the team because Danny Ainge told new ownership that they had no chance to win a title. And that was a team that had the best record in the NBA and was seemingly young and set for a long time. Like, that's how tenuous this stuff is. And then you look at, you know, Dirk Nowitzki, right? Hall of Fame player, stayed 20 years with one team, won one championship. You look at Tim Duncan, small market guy, stayed with one team, had multiple, you know, eras that he won championships in. And that's what I think right now we're hoping, right? We're hoping that Giannis has already gotten to where Dirk got in his 20 years, but that this ends up being a Tim Duncan-like thing where he won one championship with the, you know, Drew, Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton team. Then he won his second with the Dame Lillard Middleton. And then his third championship era ends up being with whatever. Like, that's the hope, right? That John Horst continues to be able to build and adapt around, you know, a generational talent. And these teams are going to look different and there's going to be adjustments. So the idea that everything didn't work perfect the first year with Dame is not a surprise. I think if the Bucks lost in the first round of the postseason with Dame, it would be devastating.
Are they held to the same standard as the Packers?
I mean
the Packers are clearly the number one team.
They're held to a significantly higher standard.
Than the Packers?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, Chewy, you just did it.
The Packers, when they played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, were the clear number one power-ranked team in the NFL, and they lose. Then the next year, they play San Francisco, the number one power-ranked team, and everyone lose their mind to the point where they run Rodgers out, right? Probably, which they should. And I can guarantee you, if they lose in the first round this year to the Pacers, they're rolling it back again.
That's what they did also back in the earlier part of Aaron Rodgers' career. Like, that's the other thing that they did.
They just traded for Dame Lillard. Sorry, Drew.
I know. But you just said it. They trade for Dame Lillard, and if they lose to the Indiana Pacers, it's a failure. It's the combination.
They haven't lost to the Pacers yet, and they're not going. I don't think they lose to the Pacers, but either way, they're not running it back. The way the contract situations work in this team works, there's going to be change with this team the following year. And that's the evolution of how the NBA game works. And the idea of even a second year with Giannis and Dame is going to be better than a first year. But, I mean, there is nothing that this organization has shown that, like, oh, they are not doing everything to win a championship. So I don't know where you could be getting that from.
I mean, Chewy, you were like, you looked at the odds and go, oh, they're not even favored. And now you're already counting them out. If we did that for the Packers, I mean, they were 7.5-point dogs going into the Cowboys, right? Like, so aren't you holding the Bucks to a higher standard already because you're already counting them out?
Gabe, I just thought when they won the championship in, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
We would in that 5 years, I projected 5 years forward.
How many championships
for three
did you...
championships, at least two.
How many championships did you think you guys were going to win after you won Super Bowl 31?
Another one.
It's hard, though. And, like, you know that more than anybody. Like, you've lived it, man. Like, you know how hard that stuff is.
Yeah, but to be exited the second year in a row in the first round.
The second year, don't you? Chewy, don't you almost count the second year? Like Super Bowl 32 that you guys know you were good enough, so you're like, hey, if that happens 8 out of 10 times, we win 2 Super Bowls.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
Craig, last thing I have for you. How do they win? How do the Bucks win this series? I see a lot of people clinging to the hope that Tyrese Halliburton will continue this quote-unquote slump that he has been in. I think he was averaging like 25 points per game, 12 or 13 rebounds, and then he slumped it down to like 14. I'm not even sure what it was for the rest of the regular season. But that to me feels like flimsy to just hope that Tyrese Halliburton doesn't regain that pre-January form for the postseason when we talk about everybody takes it a notch up. Everybody takes it a step up when it's postseason ball. How do the Bucks beat the Pacers in this series if Giannis isn't available?
Yes, first of all, I don't know that Tyrese is completely healthy, and that's
hamstring.
Something he's been dealing with for the entire second half of the year. But I think the way they win this series is a healthy Dame Lillard, a healthy Chris Middleton, and the pace being played at a postseason pace. You know, the Pacers, I think, scored 159 points in the last game of the season, and we saw what the Pacers can do when the game is sped up. Postseason basketball is usually different. Postseason basketball means you have to hit some mid-range shots. It's a slower half-court game. There's not as many easy baskets. If there's going to be a game or two in this series that is played at the Pacers' pace, and they're going to win those games, and they could even win those games by double digits. But I think the games that are played in the half court, when you have Dame Lillard, when you have Chris Middleton, even without Giannis, the Bucks are the better team in the half court, and that's why the Bucks win this series.
Yeah, I think I saw that the Pacers were leading the league in points per game, weren't they? 123 or something like that. With the Bucks not too far behind, though. They were only, I think they were fourth in the league.
They are not a good interior defensive team. So the other thing is, do the Bucks, you know, without Giannis, actually put Brook Lopez in the paint, right? Because we know the reason Brook Lopez shoots four-pointers, right? He doesn't shoot three-pointers. Brooke Lopez is set up two steps behind the three-point line, and that's to space things out so Giannis has space to operate in the paint. But if Giannis is out, that means Bobby Portis, that means Brooke Lopez have to dominate inside in the paint, because even with Siakam added to that Pacers team, they do not have a good interior defense. They do not overall have a good half-court defense, and the Bucks need to exploit that.
All right, Craig, well, we know what you'll be doing this Sunday. It's what we all will be doing, watching the Bucks and Pacers kick off the first round of the playoffs. Thanks for hanging out with us. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
You too. Go Bucks.
Have you tried Celsius Energy Drink yet? If you haven't, let me tell you all about it. It's the clean energy drink that you need to stay active and energized all day long. You know, my kid is always saying to me, you have any idea how much caffeine is in that Celsius, Mom? I said, I do, and it's what gets me through the day. But I was also perusing the back of the Celsius can the other day. Do you know that there's biotin in Celsius as well? Like a lot of biotin. You know what that means? My hair is going to be getting longer. My nails are going to be getting stronger just from using my Celsius as well. There are 18 different flavors to choose from. My favorite is the peach vibe. I know, I tell you all the time. I've tried some of the other flavors. I do enjoy the grapefruit and, of course, the lemon lime as well. You can find Celsius at your local Pick and Save stores or online at Amazon.com. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius Essential Energy Drinks.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj. Who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of a right tackle.
I have a question. Yes. I have a question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj?
Like, I was thinking, okay.
Who's Raj? You tell us, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
There you go again, head low, putting on a show again. It's the holidays, how come it always ends this way?
Gabe, is there bad blood between these franchises? The Bucks and the Pacers.
I don't think it's quite there yet. I mean, they had the one incident with the Giannis ball earlier this year, but
on balls today.
Yeah.
Hot balls.
Giannis ball.
Fireballs.
I think there was that. I mean, I think that is this series going to be intense? Yeah, I think it's going to be intense regardless of it, because also, you know, even though the Bucks have struggled this year, they're one of the teams that is looked at as a beast in the East, right? Like, they're one of the teams that are up there, and this Pacers team is a young team that wants to knock off some of those top teams and start leaving their own mark in the Eastern Conference. So I think it's going to be chippy because of that, but I don't know if this is like, oh, man, no love lost between these two teams. I don't know if we're at that point quite yet.
You know, we were talking about John Horst and, you know, Craig kind of admonished Chewy for bringing it up a little bit, because obviously the Bucks are about to start the series with the Pacers. But the reason that John Horst's name is coming up is because his name is being floated in other job, I guess, candidates lists. What's the candidate list that John Horst's name is now on?
President of Basketball Operations for the Detroit Pistons.
And as far as we know, John Horst doesn't want to leave Milwaukee. As far as we know, he is happy here. As far as we know, I don't know. Like, do we think he's looking? Like now my brain is not going to play nice with me. But the Brewers situation with David Stearns. Thank you. See, it was coming. It was just slow going this morning. We knew he was looking, right? He was attached to the Mets. We knew that was a possibility. It felt like it was a foregone conclusion at some point that he would eventually take his talents to the Mets, which is what ended up happening. Now, Horst's name is being mentioned in the Pistons. Is that more of a, if he gets fired, he'd be interested in that?
I mean, it depends upon, because president of basketball operations, presumably, much like they've done in baseball, right? Like, there's no general manager anymore. Well, there is, but it's lower on the list than president of baseball operations, which kind of seems what's happening in Detroit. This would be the president of basketball operations. It'd be a step up. You'd be able to run a little bit more. You'd be able to have more say in things, potentially. So I think that's A, they like the job that he's done there, and B, yes, maybe he becomes more interested in it if he ends up being a scapegoat should things not go the Bucks' way this postseason.
800-990-3776. We're going to get to some Brian Windhorst sound. I know that Gabe has really said that
we
don't want
to
hear
again?
From Brian
Windhorst.
It's our rival.
Do we have to do this again?
Is he your arch rival?
Well, apparently. Like, I mean, literally, the only thing he says is,
what if he doesn't mention Giannis by name?
Is that
That'd
okay?
be shocking. It'd be the first time ever.
Oh, well, boy.
First time ever.
What a tease.
First time ever he doesn't mention Giannis when talking about
Perhaps
the Bucks.
For that reason and for that reason alone, Gabe will allow us to hear from Brian Windhorst
we'll
on
see
the
how
other
I feel.
Side of this break. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy after this.